What is going on, guys? Welcome back to another post-game stream here on Rangers Central. And honestly, I think this is the first time this season I could sit in this chair, talk in this microphone, and say, they didn't deserve to lose. This is the first time I think I could say that after a loss this year, that they were the better team. They just didn't have it go their way because Igor Shesterkin played like, I don't know, not an $11.5 million goaltender. And I know he's not making the 11.5 right now before people are like, well, actually, but he didn't look like an $11.5 million goaltender. You have a power play that was complete and utterly garbage because Adam Fox is not there. And what do you know? They look broken on the power play. And on top of that, you have just way too many mental mistakes with this team that's going on. I don't know what it is. I've never seen a team in my life constantly getting caught with too many men on the ice or close calls, because the amount of times Sam and Joe tonight are like, well, you know, close to too many men. Oh, the Rangers almost took a too many men. It was the entire game that this was happening. And that falls on the coach. Falls on the coach, too, that the power play is broken, because why are you going with five forwards right now when you have Zach Jones, which one of the abilities that he has is that he could be a useful weapon on the power play. So I don't understand that at all. But this is the first time I could sit here. I'm not mad that they lost the game because of that. Or, I mean, I haven't been mad at a loss in a while just because of the fact that the season has already been such a lost cause to where it kind of is what it is. And honestly, this kind of did balance things out because they probably shouldn't have won the game in Pittsburgh, probably shouldn't have beat the Islanders either. So, you know, that at least balances things out a little bit in terms of the fact that they probably should have won this game, but they didn't. And then the last few games, they probably should have lost, but they didn't. This team has not won three straight games since Shohei Ohtani was playing playoff baseball. They managed to succeed because Shohei Ohtani made a spring training debut today. They managed to make it through Ohtani's last at-bat of last season to the start of his first at-bat this season in spring training without recording three straight wins together. So, I don't know what you want me to say other than this team's not... No, I mean, the playoffs, they might make it just because the rest of the competition sucks. Do you want to watch it? No. Anyway, leave a like on your way into the live stream. Subscribe if you guys are new to the channel, especially if you're Ranger fans. And turn on your notifications so you know when I upload or go live on the channel. Like I said, yeah, I mean, this game easily could have went the Rangers' way if the power play, literally just any part of it, was functioning today. There was no puck movement up high. Too much east-west that wasn't going through. Horrible. And then Igor Shesterkin, don't even get me started, swimming in the crease on that Nylander goal. Going out to play the puck on the second goal, or the third goal rather, the Nye's goal. What are you doing there? I don't understand why he's going out to play the puck there. There's no reason to. And then Braden Schneider running around like a headless chicken there. And Nice is wide open in the net front. I don't understand. I just don't understand it. And then OEL gets that power play goal. I don't know how much I could blame Igor for that one. But either way, he did not play good. He did not play good. And when Will Cooley scored that shorthanded goal, I thought, all right, they're going to find a way to win this game, probably. They're probably going to find a way. Because that goal was beautiful, too. Nope. The Zibanejad goal even was beautiful, too. But nope. The end of the day, they put themselves in a spot where they probably should have won the game, but they didn't. But the other problem is you have a second line right now, or first line, whatever you want to call that Panarin, Trocheck, Lafreniere line these days. That line has been terrible. That line has been just straight up hot ass. I don't know what's going on with Artemi Panarin. No clue. But he is not making a difference in any of these games lately when he needs to make a difference if this team wants to make the playoffs. So, I mean, again, that goes without saying, though. Lafreniere has been terrible since signing that contract. And then I don't understand how Brendan Othman gets 5 minutes of ice time when every shift he looks noticeable. Except for maybe like one or two. He was noticeable on most shifts. Why is it that he plays 5 minutes? Oh, I know why. Because this is the New York Rangers where we don't play our prospects. We bury them on the fourth line. 5 minutes. Just under six for Brian Hoffman tonight. And why does this team not develop prospects? Well, there you go. And that falls on LaViolette too. There's so much to be ticked off about where the result's not even... I mean, the result sucks, obviously, for if this team wants to make it, but I'm like so ticked off just with how much I was so convinced that LaViolette was the answer to this thing. I'm mad at myself right now. That's really what it is. I'm mad at myself. Because I thought that he was going to come in here and he was going to hold the guys that need to be held accountable. I thought he was going to hold them accountable. Like Artemi Panarin playing the way he has. I thought that was not going to fly under LaViolette. I was dead wrong. I was dead wrong. Instead, Brendan Othman, you're noticeable every shift. Take a seat. He's not getting his jersey tapped. But yeah. Long story short, this game was probably winnable. They actually looked solid. Like that first period, I was actually impressed because they let up the first goal. They can't get through the neutral zone to save their lives. And then all of a sudden, they start to break through by dumping and chasing. And they were actually getting in on the forecheck. And I thought, all right, they're actually playing respectable hockey right now. And the second period rolls along. And then they let up the early goal there. But I thought, again, they actually, like, you know, they responded respectfully. I thought the second period was, I don't know, second or the third was their worst. But the third period, I mean, the third period was their worst because they were not getting the chances. They just looked done. The Leafs just, they were trying to shut it down. The Rangers got that shorthanded goal. The Leafs had to respond. They did. And then the game was done there because all they had to do was go into shutdown mode. The difference between having a good coach and not, because Craig Berube was a good freaking coach, and I wish I would do anything for the Rangers to have a coach like that. I'm trying to find something here while I am buying time here. But yeah, I mean, they had the high quality chances at points, but I mean, Stolarz played great too. I can't find what I was looking for. But yeah, I'm going to get to the chat. Before I jump into that, though, leave a like on the live stream if you haven't already. Subscribe, turn on your notifications. If you want to listen to the audio version, you can on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever your podcasting platform is. Give a rating, give a review. And I do want to say, because a week from today is the NHL trade deadline, and I will be doing a live stream with Big Apple Hockey. We will be doing a collaboration for the trade deadline a week from today on March 7th. I believe we're going to start at 12 p.m. I'm going to go live a little bit earlier by myself, maybe with Matt, depending if he wants to be on the live stream, of course, or not. But either way, 12 o'clock, me, Mark, Matt, Philk, Anthony, we will all be live together for trade deadline coverage, which will be definitely good because there will be a lot less dead air compared to, you know, when it's just like two or three of us. It will be a lot easier that way. So it's going to be fun, hopefully, to see, you know, some big trades. Hopefully we see some big trades because, you know, the past few deadlines, it's like the trades are happening too early. And I want the GMs to do me, Big Apple Hockey, and all the content creators a favor and wait until March 7th to make the trades. But I will also go live, of course, you know, if anything does break within the next week of significance at all, whether it is a Rangers trade or whether it is something similar to, or if Rantanen gets dealt again, like I went live for that, if there's something similar, you know, to that magnitude, I will of course go live. But yeah, let me get to the chat now and see what you guys are saying in the in the chat right now. Let's see. And Matt in the stream, yeah. I'm still not firing Laviolette unless Drury gets fired. He deserves to keep his job more than Drury. The only way I could justify Laviolette staying at this point, if I'm going to justify it in any way, is if the Rangers are trying to think big picture here and they're trying to just drag this out with Laviolette for this year, drag it out for next year, and then target John Cooper, who could hit the open market after the 25-26 season. That's the only way I could justify this. If that's the case, I'm willing to suffer through this, the rest of this year and next year, to get to John Cooper. You don't have to ask me twice about that one. Because the Rangers would be a team that would offer the most to him. The question really comes down to, how much does he love Tampa Bay? We don't know that, though. Would I support the Rangers picking up Tuck? Yes, because he at least has an extra year after this year to where it's not trading too many assets to get a rental. So at least you're getting a guy who's going to come here and, you know, he gets acclimated to his new team and you have him for next year as well. So I would be more than okay with Alex Tuck. Is it going to happen? Probably not, but I would be very happy with Alex Tuck. And yeah, I mean, maybe he doesn't, but my counter argument to it is, sure, maybe he loves Tampa, but he's won stuff there already. And, you know, he's been there for so long. Maybe he wants to, you know, just get money at that point. And we'll see. I mean, it really comes down to what his preference is. Obviously, again, we don't know what John Cooper's preference is. No one thought Barry Trotz would leave, you know, Washington after winning the Stanley Cup. So who knows, man? Who knows? I would be pump though if that was the hire, if that's why they're keeping Laviolette, to try to drag themselves to John Cooper. I'd be okay with that. Would I do laugh for Zegras? No. And that was Larry Brooks that wrote a weird article about that. That was stupid. What, if any, UFAs do we keep, and do we get rid of Zibanejad and Kreider in the offseason? Ideally, you get rid of both of them, but I don't think they're going to, because one, I think they like Mika Zibanejad. And then in Chris Kreider's sake, you know, he has a modified no trade clause. And on top of that, he is damaged goods right now. I mean, the guy clearly, his back injury is affecting him, and he has a knack for being inconsistent to begin with. So at this point, I think he's a negative asset to where I don't know if the Rangers are going to move him, because you're going to have to trade something with him in order to get something back of any sort of value, or just maybe even to get rid of him in general with that contract. In terms of the UFAs, though, Riley Smith needs to go. Jimmy Vesey needs to go. Ryan Lindgren needs to go. Jonathan Quick, I love Jonathan Quick. But it's time to let Dylan Guerin get some games. And on top of that, go let Jonathan Quick win a Stanley Cup one more time. I would like to see that. Let him go back to LA or wherever he wants to go. That's the guy where you honor whatever team he wants to go to, because he deserves to have a say in where he goes to end his career and potentially win one more cup. Again, as much as I love Jonathan Quick, that's just my opinion there on that one. What happened here? Missed something with that. Sorry, saw something on Twitter. Well, yeah, Cooley's an RFA, so yeah. Obviously, you keep him around. Like, in terms of any RFAs that I'm moving, Kaliev maybe, just because, you know, they're not playing him either way, and if you're not going to commit to giving him any sort of role, then just move him at that point and get whatever you can, even if it's like a seventh-round pick, because, again, why play a 23-year-old when you could play a 33-year-old Riley Smith, who literally has nothing other than just you're trying to drag it out to the deadline, again, hopefully to move him. And the only other RFA maybe that they would move is Keandre Miller, but I don't know if they're going to. And yeah, this is the problem with Lafreniere. When he's not producing, he is not impacting the game at all. Yeah, and sure, he would get time, but ideally, at the same time, if they move Riley Smith, then you got to give Brennan Othman a bigger role at that point. If you're moving Jimmy Vesey or any of these other forwards, I'd like to see Brett Berard back with the team. Like, again, I'm willing to give Kaliev that shot, and I would like for them to, but they have other prospects to prioritize right now, to where I don't know if Kaliev is going to get in the lineup still. That's the problem here. Unfortunately, I have given up on Laviolette. Unfortunately, I have. Is it possible at this point to avoid a complete rebuild for the Rangers to be competitive again? It would take a lot to where you might as well rebuild. That's really the thing. And I know. But the Kaliev then applies to that. And yeah, I mean, that's another thing that I didn't even discuss too with the second goal. What was that line change about there? That line change was just horrible. And I know it's not a rebuilding move, but the question was, is there a way to avoid rebuilding to remain competitive? And I personally don't see how, but... And that's why I didn't want them to get JT Miller, is because I didn't understand why this team is going out and getting a guy who is up there in age when this team is pointing in the opposite direction of being a contender right now. That was my problem with the Miller trade. It was more about that than JT Miller himself, which, granted, JT Miller has been a little bit off outside of the Islander game the past few games. He's been definitely a little bit off with his play, but at the same time, I mean, he's far from the issue. But again, that's just my opinion there. And this is it. Yeah. The only way a retool works over a rebuild is hitting the jackpot on some reclamation projects. And Chris Drury thinks he did that with Will Borgen by giving him that extension on top of that. And then you also, you know, he thinks he's doing that with Juro Vaakanainen when that's just not the case. And I mean, yeah, the last part scares me too, because that was another thing I said with JT Miller where, okay, sure, maybe he wants to be here, but if they're going to keep losing, then at some point he's going to be checked out too. That is what happens with JT Miller. So I agree with that completely. I don't know if Kreider's gone by the deadline. I'm not sure about that one. I still feel it's more of an off-season thing. I could be wrong, and I'd be very happy to be wrong about that one. But I don't think the Rangers are in a spot to get Rantanen in. He wants way too much money, and I don't know if he is. I hate to say it, but the narrative that he might be a McKinnon merchant might be true, because he has not been the same player in Carolina. Albeit, the one thing I could say is it could be Carolina's system, because Carolina's system usually calls for a drop in offense outside of Gensel, which they should not have let that guy walk out the door. But yeah, I don't know. He's going to get way too much money. And I feel like I'd rather the Rangers just wait at that point to go after maybe a Jack Eichel in free agency or a Connor McDavid if those guys hit the market. Just again, waiting one more year. Thoughts on Seth Jones? I don't see why the Rangers would take that contract at all. That's my opinion of that. I don't understand. I don't see the appeal at all. And you had Larry Brooks saying the Rangers maybe could retain some salary on his contract. Why the hell would the Rangers retain any salary for that long of term on a deal? Yeah, Igor was dog shit, Nicholas. Definitely. I like Donato, but they're not in a position to buy. And yeah, this too, like Brodzinski looks effective, but nope. You don't get to play as much. You don't. It's ridiculous. Oh, if they got McDavid, I don't know what would hit better. When the Mets got Soto or that, I don't know what would hit more. At what point do the Rangers realize they should be sellers, or Drury realize? Hopefully this week. I mean, hopefully he looks at it and says, all right, well, we lost to Toronto. And then he looks at the games against the Islanders and Pittsburgh and say, well, you know what? Those games, sure, we won those games, but we didn't look good in them. But knowing Drury, he's probably looking at the ass opposite, saying, well, we won those two games. We were the better team in this game against Toronto. So, hey, we got to buy. We're close. And I'm fine with them doing third-party brokering, but not for Seth Jones. Because why should they retain for another 5 or 6 years of that contract? To me, it makes no sense for the Rangers to retain on any part of Seth Jones' contract. If you want to retain salary on, you know, like Mikko Rantanen, for example, even, and, you know, be a third team there. Fine, go for it. But why would you be a third team on for a guy that has way too much term on that contract? No clue with this one. I don't understand it either. I really don't. I don't think this is the case with Drury's job, though. Like I thought, because I thought maybe the same thing that, all right, maybe he is actually on the hot seat a little bit. But we also saw Arthur Staple put out an article that Chris Drury's on a scale of 1 to 10, how safe his job. He said an 8, I'm pretty sure, or 9. So that tells me Chris Drury's safe. And that tells me he's making these moves at his own will, which is even more concerning about all of this. So that worries me a lot, that Drury's doing this without being on the hot seat. I call this loss. I mean, they always get rinsed by Toronto, to be fair. They do. And this is what I've been saying that I'm worried about, that they're going, forget what the fans think. Like, if positive Peters are going to be positive Peters, whatever. But the thing that worries me is that this team is going to get a couple more points against some bad teams, which, you know, you beat who's in front of you, but Nashville and the Islanders, like, they just got points against the Islanders and Pittsburgh. So if they get points there and then lose to Washington, but and you know what? 2 points out, like you're saying, I'm worried that the Rangers are going to buy because they think, eh, well, you know what? We're only 2 points out, so we got to go for it. I'm worried about that. Valley said they have to go 17-6 to make the playoffs with the second hardest schedule. So, to put that in perspective, actually, I don't know if I have a perspective I was going to put this in, but all I could say is, I mean, looking at the schedule, I could tell you 6 losses just in March off the rip, and that's not even getting to April. They're going to lose to Washington, probably. I mean, they keep getting spanked by them. Winnipeg's most likely a loss. Minnesota's most likely a loss. Toronto, you're most likely losing to. Edmonton, you're most likely losing to. LA, you're most likely losing to. And then you get to April, you play Minnesota again. They play Tampa Bay. They play twice. They play Florida. They play Carolina. Like, look, could this front office, for once, use their damn heads and look at the schedule in front and say, nah, dog. This ain't it. This ain't it at all. So if they have to go 17-6, I mean, good luck, because I just pointed out, like, what, 10 to 12 games that look like, at least, you know, again, the games are played on the ice, not on paper, but just looking at the schedule, I could pencil in most likely and say they are going to lose those games. And that doesn't even factor in the fact that they could lose to some bad teams. Good luck. Good luck. Because what, I had six of those in March, Minnesota again, New Jersey, Tampa Bay twice, Carolina, Florida, so 12. 12 games that I think that are very, very losable. Like, let's be realistic here. Do I think they lose Sunday? I don't know. I don't know if they beat Nashville or not. I mean, they lost them earlier in the year. Maybe they split, but they do lose to Nashville quite a bit for some reason. I think they'll probably win that. I think it's going to be the pattern that we've seen. Like, they'll probably win the next two, lose to Washington, then they'll win the next two versus Ottawa and Columbus, and then lose to Winnipeg. And then you're going to start to see them probably losing a bit more as the schedule gets tougher when they play teams like Minnesota. And even Columbus right now is, you know, a tougher team. They're not a walkover right now. So, and even Calgary, who too, I didn't give credit to them, which they're in the playoffs as well. So, just again, they have the second hardest schedule for a reason. All right, guys, I'm going to wrap up the live stream here. Thank you for tuning in and watching. Leave a like if you enjoyed. Subscribe. Turn on your notifications so you know when I upload or go live. I'll see you guys in the next one.